Thank you for giving me some of your precious time today. I hope that my message, with the aid and strength of the Spirit, can touch your hearts and give you encouragement on your personal journey. When I received my patriarchal blessing, one of the key messages that I received was that as I share my testimony with others, my testimony would grow. I would never have imagined that I would be in front of the BYU students, faculty, employees, and families that are here today. I'm humbled by this opportunity. Thank you. I may be different from many and possibly similar to some of you who are here at BYU today. I'm a female that grew up loving computers, math, and sports. Revealing my age, you probably would not be surprised that 35 years ago, I found myself as a lone woman among many men in pursuit of those interests. I didn't know much about higher education and was the first in my family to go on to college. I knew I wanted to go somewhere to elevate my education, and through an athletic scholarship and the support of my family, I was blessed with the means and direction to be able to further my education. Growing up with those interests, information technology was a perfect fit for my profession, which has now spanned the last 30 years. I would encourage everyone, including women, to study technology. You may be wondering if there are a lot of women in technology. Happily, I would suggest that there are more than there used to be, but we are still far from the majority. I came to BYU after working in the technology industry for 17 years. I applied for a job at BYU because I felt like this was where I needed to be. At the time, it didn't make a lot of sense for my career, as I would be starting over in many aspects. I hadn't worked in the higher education industry, my studies were from another university, and I wasn't sure why I was pulled in this direction. Coming from the corporate world, religious discussions were not encouraged and were even frowned upon in business conversation. My home is where my spiritual growth came from. After being hired at BYU, I recall coming in on a Monday morning and sitting in a meeting that was full of employees. One person stood up and started to pray. After they were seated, another shared a spiritual thought with everyone. I sat there looking around the room in total amazement. I left that day knowing that I had joined a different world of business that was completely foreign to me. I continued to observe that in meeting after meeting, prayers were frequently offered before business was conducted. This was a place where the Spirit was invited every day and sometimes every hour. Was it unusual? From a business perspective, yes. Was it uncomfortable? At first, for me, yes. Was it wonderful? Yes. As wonderful as it was, the question that came to my mind was, did I belong? Did I fit in? Did I measure up to the high standards and expectations that existed here? BYU is a place of high expectations. However, the gospel of Jesus Christ also has high expectations. There may be times in your life when you question if you belong. Elder Christofferson shared this important message about the doctrine of belonging with us. A sense of belonging is important to our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Yet it is quite possible that at times each of us might feel that we don't fit in. In discouraging moments, we may feel that we will never measure up to the Lord's high standards or the expectations of others. We may unwittingly impose expectations on others or even ourselves that are not the Lord's expectations. We may communicate in subtle ways that the worth of a soul is based on certain achievements or callings. But these are not the measures of the standing in our Lord's eyes. The Lord looketh on the heart. He cares about our desires and our longings and what we are becoming. I finally transformed my question into, why would I not belong? I love my Savior and his gospel. I am determined enough to grow, humble enough to learn, and eager enough to make a difference. So why would I not belong? Changing this question changed my perspective and let me move forward. Life is full of ups and downs. We make mistakes. We are lonely and at times can feel like we don't belong. We may ask the question, do I belong in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Let's change that question and ponder. Why would I not belong? Why would God not be interested in you? Elder Ufdorf summarized God and Jesus Christ's perspective in his message of Come and Belong. Jesus the Christ does care deeply about each and every one of God's children. During his mortal life, the Savior ministered to all, to the happy and accomplished, to the broken and lost, and to those without hope. If Jesus spent his mortal life ministering to the least of these, why would he not love them today? Is there not a place in his church for all of God's children, even for those who feel unworthy, forgotten, or alone? In truth, God does not show favoritism. The things the world values means nothing to him. He knows your heart, and he loves you regardless of your title, financial net worth, or number of Instagram followers. As we incline our hearts to our Heavenly Father and draw near to him, we feel him draw near to us, end quote. Remember that you are God's child and you do belong regardless of the rank of your secular achievements. He loves you enough that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to atone for your sins so you can return to him. Speaking as a parent, anyone who is willing to do that is willing to go the distance and is fully consecrated in his efforts. There is no obstacle so high or gulf so great as could impede his efforts to reach you. You are also one of his children. After orienting myself to my new environment, I finally accepted that I did belong at BYU and I went to work. With technology, there is always an opportunity to learn something new and a new challenge to overcome. I didn't realize when I accepted my first position at BYU that the changes in my life would not just be technology-based. I had a front row seat as people have been inspired and spiritually guided in the work within the office of IT. Every year over the last decade has brought me more spiritual growth. My understanding expanded as I learned from my peers, enjoyed meaningful conversations with students, and discussions with leadership where they shared their testimonies and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. I felt my testimony begin to flourish like that small seed described by the Savior in the book of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like to the grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. In our lives, the opportunity to learn is not simply secular, but spiritual as well. BYU is focused on a dual heritage that integrates secular and spiritual learning. This approach exponentially multiplies the effect of both types of learning. Each amplifies the other. Within the church education system, you are blessed with opportunities that enhance not only your academic skills, knowledge, and experience, but with opportunities to spiritually be nourished to prepare, serve, lead, or influence others in the world. Looking back at the decade I have worked at BYU, I realize how much my life has been influenced by this focus. Recently, employees at the Office of IT were challenged to search the scriptures and find a scripture that related to or laid a foundation for their work. It has been amazing to hear the ancient scriptures and gospel principles apply in our everyday, modernized, technology-centric work. This focus to bring sacred meaning and divine guidance into even our most routine of tasks has spiritually strengthened me and many others at OIT. Elder Oaks shared, "What we see around us depends on what we seek in life." When you search for the spiritual messages or look for miracles, as President Nielsen suggested, you begin to recognize and understand the spiritual meaning of things in your daily life. Elder Witzo taught that there is a spiritual meaning of all human acts and earthly events. No man is quite so happy as he who backs all his labor by such a spiritual interpretation and understanding of the acts of his life, end quote. Throughout our lives, we are guided to places and decisions that we don't expect or understand. At times, we receive inspiration that turns out to be a precious gift, impacting our entire lives. I hope, as you think about where you are in your life, that you listen to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. And when doubt arises, I hope that you combat it with a leap of faith and knowledge that you do belong. That knowledge will be your precious gift in life that can sustain you through all kinds of trials as the world changes around you. Although change is constant in technology, the opposite is true with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Nephi was speaking about the Son of God, he shared that his gospel is timeless, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does change with the gospel of Jesus Christ is our spiritual understanding and transformation. We can increase and deepen our understanding by devoting our time and attention to acquiring knowledge about Jesus Christ's life and his ministry. Jesus Christ is our example of knowledge and humility, of charity and love, obedience and diligence, and faith and hope. We are all at different levels of understanding the gospel. However, the elevation our understanding has risen to is not an indication of our strength. Rather, it is the strength of our foundation, the rock it is built on, that determines our ability to survive the harsh abuse of the elements in a terrestrial world. Strength does not come from the height of the building, but from the base. Helaman, a Book of Mormon prophet, taught us to remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. Because of the rock upon which ye built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. To build our foundation on Christ, the rock, we must come to know him through frequent study. We dedicate ourselves to searching scriptures and the words of living prophets, attending church services, general conference, and devotionals. We must do his work by living as he would, serving others, and especially by worshiping and providing service as offerings in his holy temples. Today we are blessed with 350 temples, either dedicated, in a stage of construction, or announced this past April. Temples are places we can physically go to place ourselves closer to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Temples are places we go to do the Lord's work for the dead and the living, and places we can expect to receive answers to prayers, personal revelations, greater faith, strength, comfort, increased knowledge, and increased power, as stated by President Nelson. My husband and I went to Sweden on a work trip years ago, and we were able to attend the Sweden Stockholm Temple. It was a beautiful experience. But what impressed me the most was the dedication of the local church members. The Sweden Temple was the only temple for many surrounding countries. The members in this region would arrange to take a week off for necessary travel and would stay at the temple where they would perform the work for their deceased relatives and savor the feeling of being closer to Jesus Christ. The members' faith and devotion were inspiring. They were gaining all the blessings of the temple and coming closer to Jesus Christ by assisting him in his sacred and glorious work. Although it may have seemed inconsequential to these faithful members, the offering of weeks of their vacation time as a modern form of sacrifice was inspiring to me and representative of their appreciation for the covenants we make in the temple. Allow me to share some personal perspective about self-forgiveness and the temple. There are times in our lives when we need to turn to the Savior and remember that through him we can be made whole. When speaking about oppositions in all things, Elder Oaks said, quote, God has given us a way to be cleansed, healed, and forgiven through the atonement of Jesus Christ, a Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ pays the price to redeem us from our sins, end quote. I believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ, and I have had relied on his grace in my life. I believe in forgiving others, and that it can be intensely liberating and a healing process. During key moments in my life, I've been required to find the will to forgive myself from the mistakes of my past, through fervent prayer, temple worship, and even in sacred conversations with my devoted and supportive husband. On one occasion, I discovered that I didn't fully believe the assurances that I had been forgiven for past mistakes. Through divine guidance, temple attendance, and increased faith in the Savior, whose atonement is infinitely powerful and accessible, I was able to progress to the point where I could remove the shackles that held me bound in a single, decisive act of self-forgiveness. There are few moments in my life that have been as liberating. Being able to forgive myself and strengthen my faith in the Savior's infinite ability and compassion for us as individuals, and it strengthened my resolve and confidence that I could progress on the path to eternal life. The temple is here to help us come closer to Christ. As Elder Renlund said, Jesus Christ is the treasure. As you come to him, you will be rewarded with strength to face life's challenges, courage to do what is right, and the ability to fulfill your mission in mortality. Think about where you are in life's story, where you belong, what you want to improve on, and what you want in the end. It's crucial to have a plan that guides your journey through life. Without true intention, time slips away and life unfolds without direction. Upon entering BYU, you harbored aspirations. Your aim was clear. You attained knowledge, expertise, and insight in your chosen field. With this objective driving you forward, you dedicated yourself to self-improvement. You enrolled in courses, diligently absorbed concepts and principles, structured your time to maximize productivity, and collaborated with peers to enhance your understanding. Each endeavor is a step towards mastery, towards the day when you'd proudly graduate and excel in your craft, career, or profession. Anytime that you want to improve a skill or part of your life, it takes practice and dedicated time to achieve the results you want. The good old saying of practice makes perfect applies not only to academics and sports, but also to our spiritual progression. As we think about our spiritual progression, President Nelson said it best, begin with the end in mind. During the 2023 October General Conference, he encouraged us all to think celestial. President Nelson said, I encourage you to begin with the end in mind. This means making the celestial kingdom your eternal goal, and then carefully considering where each of your decisions while here on earth will place you in the next world. Think of the ultimate gift of eternal life and eternal families. To achieve this, we must work and practice to improve our life. We achieve this by learning concepts and principles, organizing our time to focus on key outcomes, and attending the house of the Lord to counsel together to improve our understanding so that we are prepared to pass the requirements of this course on earth. Of course, learning wouldn't be true learning if we were not tested on what we know. Elder Oaks shared, the purpose of a mortal life for the children of God is to provide the experiences needed to progress toward perfection and ultimately realize their divine destiny as heirs of eternal life, end quote. We came down to earth to gain salvation and eternal life. Learning here on earth comes through trials and tribulations. Christ teaches us that trials give us experiences that make us stronger and are for our good. Without the bitter trials, we could not know the sweet. We are promised that these experiences lead to spiritual growth and eternal progression. Although we receive these promises, they do come with expectations of us doing our part, which should include turning to the Lord. Sometimes it is hard to be humbled and understand that there is growth and progression when you're in the middle of a trial or watching another one go through one. As I grew up loving sports and playing college basketball, I dealt with many injuries. When injuries came and they were treated, I got back to playing. The good old saying of rub some dirt on it and get back out there was how I grew up. A few years ago, I was playing ball with my family and friends, and I hit the back of my head on a brick wall. I sat down for a few minutes, and I thought I was fine. I even went back out and stood on the court pretending that I could play. I soon realized something wasn't right. I started to get a little nauseous and decided I should leave. Stubborn as I was, I didn't say anything to anyone as I thought I could make the 10 miles to my home. As I got in the car, my situation worsened. I physically had to hold my head up. I decided I needed to stop or I wasn't going to make it home. So I stopped by my parents' home to regain my composure. After a brief rest, I got back in the car again. Once again, I did not let others know the intensity of my struggle. After some prayer and difficulty driving, I made it home. Before I relate the conclusion of this story, I want you to think about your own experience. Have you had times in your life that you felt like you just needed to do it on your own, absorb the pain, the affliction, and the trial alone? But why? Physical injuries pose challenges, but emotional and spiritual wounds can be even more crippling. When we confront personal battles, there's often a fear of appearing inadequate, weak, or having failed others. Despite our natural inclination to hide our struggle, we should remember that Jesus Christ is always there for us and has taken on additional suffering so he could more perfectly help us in our personal trials. Jesus Christ taught that a good shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one lost sheep. You are worth being found, being comforted, and being helped. If you swallow your pride and let him in, he will direct you, comfort you, heal you, and believe in you. Now back to my sports accident. The injury resulted in a severe concussion. I had never experienced anything like it before. I could not do anything. I curled up in bed in a dark room. I found myself highly dependent and had to accept the help from others as my brain healed over the course of the following months. I sincerely prayed to Heavenly Father for guidance, strength, and assistance. Through a blessing from my husband, persistent prayers, and a continual process of trusting the Lord, I was provided the degree of comfort and assurance as I healed. Prayer changes things. The ability to pray is always with us. Every child of God comes to this earth with the right to communicate with him through prayer. It's the most widely available but also underutilized source of power in this world. As Moroni teaches, we can be filled with the pure love of Christ when we pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart. The psalmist proclaimed, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." I know that prayer changes things. Sometimes we need that steadfast rock in our lives to overcome what seems impossible at the time. I pray that as you progress on your life's plan and are tested, that you remember that you are not alone and that we were not put here to suffer alone. Remember the gift of prayer and the power and privilege it is to communicate with your Heavenly Father. When you think about what you love, it brings you joy. I love playing with my grandchildren. I love my husband. I love being with my family. I love basketball. I love working at BYU. And while my children roll their eyes and constantly tell me I'm a nerd, I love technology. All these things bring me joy. When you love something, the joy it brings will show in your countenance, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your habits, and eventually your destiny. Elder Ufdorf shared during this past conference that although he loves to fly, there is a higher joy through Christ. As we strive to improve, find how we belong, and overcome the trials and tribulations, remembering to keep Jesus Christ at the center of our lives helps us find joy. We can easily get fixated on our busy schedules, responsibilities, and the digital world while missing out on opportunities to focus on what gives us true joy. President Nielsen taught that saints can be happy under every circumstance when the focus of our lives is on God's plan of salvation and Jesus Christ and his gospel. We can feel joy regardless of what's happening or not happening in our lives. Joy comes from and because of him. He is the source of all joy. As you immerse yourself in this study to improve yourself temporally and spiritually, enjoy all of it. Even as you ride the roller coaster of life with its ups and downs, remember to keep Christ at the center of all you do. With that focus will come eternal joy. While we work hard at the secular things, we need to provide equal effort on the spiritual side of our lives. Nurturing both and seeing the relationships between the two will have a multiplying effect on development. In our quest for eternal life, we must work and study, organize our time to focus on key outcomes, and reach out to others along the way. You will find great opportunities and blessings as you embrace and explore the dual heritage of your BYU education in both spiritual and temporal endeavors. You will obtain more liberty by forgiving yourself as well as forgiving others. Know that God loves you. You are his child. He is consecrated in his work to save you. Don't stand in your own way. Shake off any chains that bind you and rely on that grace of Jesus Christ to make yourself whole and believe in that blessing. He is our Redeemer, our teacher, and our salvation. You do belong, you matter, and you are loved. There is a place for you. You can overcome the pain, the hurt, loneliness, or mistakes of life and move forward. As the world changes around you, sometimes in great commotion, you can depend on a Savior who is constant. As you build on the rock of our Redeemer and change your perspective to think celestial, working to do all you can do within the scope of ability and understanding, you can gain an assurance of your hope that one day you will return to your Heavenly Father, receiving eternal salvation and eternal life, which will bring you eternal joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.